couldn't help but wonder, if taxes are truly unavoidable, why do they always feel like a bad date we never agreed to? Welcome to Tax and the City. I'm Julia Tatje from Taxum, your personal tax boutique in Zurich. Here we talk taxes simply and honestly. Sometimes just you and me, sometimes with guests, always rooted in real life. And just like that, something mandatory becomes a little more delightful. I couldn't help but wonder why so many women I admire, brilliant, international, ambitious, treat their financial future like a relationship they'll commit to once life calms down. Somewhere between moving countries, building careers, and doing everything right, money becomes that quiet thing we promise we'll deal with later. Later, when we know more, or when it feels less intimidating, later, when we finally have time. And yet, later has a way of getting expensive. Welcome back to Tax and the City, the place where international life meets tax reality, and where we talk about the things that shape our freedom long before we realize it. Today's conversation is very close to my heart because it's about women, money, confidence, and the moment we stop outsourcing responsibility for our future. I'm joined by Christina Jäger, founder of Her Financial Freedom. Christina spent years in banking, advising the ultra wealthy, while quietly realizing that even she hadn't been taught how to take care of her finances in a way that felt empowering. We were introduced by a mutual friend, bonded instantly over bold colors, and she shared the belief that taxes, investing, and pension planning don't have to be boring, scary, or masculine to be taken seriously. Christina, I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to Tax and the City.
Thanks for having me and for shining a light on this important topic.
Yes, it is. So, Christina, you had a front row seat to wealth for a long time. Take us back. How did you end up in banking in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, my parents actually had quite a big influence already. So my dad was a banker. And I remember when I was barely walking, when you walk was like two or three.
Yeah.
Like, you remember you had these briefcases in the... what was it, 80s of the men with the letter and the stiff. So I was trying to grab that, right, and lift it up and say, I will go to work. So I was trying to imitate him already. So I think since I can remember, I always knew I wanted to become a banker and work like in this international banking hub. So, and my mom, like she always said, Christina, you will never be dependent on a man. You will work something richtig, something good with where you earn money.
So, something substantial.
Yeah, something where you earn money.
Yes.
So no entrepreneurship, right? Just go the and follow the corporate route. So yeah, that's what I went on doing. And then luckily, through my dad, I could start internships abroad. Like I was coming from Germany, close by Frankfurt. And then I went on doing internships in Frankfurt, in Zurich, in Luxembourg, and then Singapore. And then luckily I could start working in Zurich, which was, or is, the center
the most beautiful city in the world.
Obviously, but also the center of wealth management. Yeah?
It is, yes. So like, more importantly, like how you ended there, or how you started there, when did you start realizing that something wasn't adding up, especially for women?
It took me a while. Yeah, it took me a while. And I'm still, again, when I read new studies, etc., shocked again and again. And you hear that feedback also from other women who are already empowered and who are already independent. But when I face them with these numbers, they're like, oh, wow, like it hits you again, right?
So what kind of numbers, for example?
Numbers about the pension gap, about the wealth gap, about the lifetime earning gap, which is in Switzerland, almost 50% of men and women.
I can imagine.
And it's clear, right? Like the roles that we're taking on, we're reducing our working hours or giving up the job or reducing for a few years, pausing, going also in industries where we earn less. Yeah. There are studies that show that when women enter an industry, the average salary decreases.
In the whole industry?
Yeah.
Crazy. So even if it was an industry before that was more masculine,
And
salaries will drop.
Yeah. Salaries are dropped.
That's shocking.
That's shocking, huh?
Yeah.
So how it went for me is I always naturally, I don't know why, maybe because I was in a super long relationship, but I never had male friends. So I always had like girlfriends, and I was living here in Switzerland and then in Asia. And I always had like so many girlfriends, and I hosted events, maybe because also our places were always very central and large. So I hosted brunches and afterwards, like afterworks. And I don't know, I just had an amazing female community of empowered women.
So clever women.
Clever women, exactly. They were only earning their own money, right? Yeah. They were smart and international, yes. Often. Anyway, so then I moved to Hong Kong when I was 30, because basically what I did in Switzerland, here in Zurich, is I served high net worth, we yes. call it in banking. So clients that have, let's say, a few million, maybe up to 5 million, 10 million. So international clients that were banking in Switzerland, I served them. And then after I did that a few years, UBS came. I was with UBS back then and asked, hey, Christina, now you've worked with billionaires for a few years. How about you now add a few zeros and you work with billionaires, but in Hong Kong?
Okay.
Would you have done it?
And I imagine you were like, yes, when's my plane leaving?
Exactly. Like that. Like that. So then I moved to Hong Kong, and all these like international women experts, yeah, like you earn well, right? So in my 30s, they were then saying, hey, Christina, now we have some money. Like, how do we do that? What do we do with it? You should know, right? Tell me. And in the sense of like, just give me a few sentences and I will be fine. I will know how to do it.
I will take care of it myself.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it's like, oh my God, ladies, like, yes, let's do it. But I cannot tell you this over a glass of Prosecco. We have to maybe come up with a series or something. I have to prepare content. And yeah. I cannot like in one apro tell
sort
you.
Sort of one liner.
Yeah. Tell yeah. you what I learned in 15 years in banking and studying macroeconomics and finance, right? So that's how it all started. And then parallel, so I met Hong Kong. Have you seen ever the skyline?
Oh, yes.
It's amazing, right? So I was like, if you know Hong Kong Island, and then you have the mainland. So on Hong Kong Island, International Finance Center, 50th floor. We were working, UBS Wealth Management. And imagine, like, you drive the elevator up, you enter, you exit, marble floors. In the client rooms, there were tables, probably more expensive than my salary, right? And this, like, billionaires come in there. And it's sometimes new wealth, not like in Europe, right? Generational wealth, yeah. new wealth. And then you sit there and you have the privilege of discussing wealth strategies over generations with them. Like, it's so interesting. And then the different cultures and the many, many zeros. Anyway, so this was my day.
Yes,
my day routine. But then on the other hand, there were these questions from my girlfriends, right? And I wanted somehow to fuse my knowledge with the need that I saw with my girlfriend. So we started a series. I said, okay, let's meet 4 evenings, Wednesdays in 4 weeks. And we started this. And I remember they were sitting on a couch. And in one moment, in the third or fourth night, I looked at them. They were discussing. They were excited. Because in the beginning, they were like, oh, finance.
I can't do it.
Can't do it or don't want to do it and not really interested. Or
I'm a woman. I have no idea.
They don't relate to it.
Yes.
And suddenly they were sitting there discussing. Engaged. One said, I realized there is not one way. And then the other one said, I found out this and that. And then the other one gave feedback. And it was just an amazing dynamic, right? And then I decided, okay, we need to do something out of
that. There is something.
There is something. And they went on and told this to their girlfriend. So we had to do a second round. Then COVID hit.
Yeah.
Everything was via Zoom. And I'm not a coach. I'm not a trained person on how to educate or teach or coach. And then COVID hit and we did the same routine that we did in my living room online. You can imagine, you have a working day in Hong Kong, you also work crazy hours, and then you sit there 4 hours in a Zoom meeting about finances. It was very boring. It was very boring. Yeah, I think it was very hard for them to follow. I said, okay, I need to hire someone. I hired the most amazing woman from Colombia back then, which was amazing. The time difference between Hong Kong and Colombia was exactly their morning, my late night.
Okay.
So for, I don't know, 1.5 years, I really created a mentoring program, right?
Yes. Where we so it accidentally came to you.
Accidentally came to me, but I kept on walking that path.
Yes.
Because it just felt so aligned. So I was working by day. Working then by night.
And then one day you quit your day job and made your night job a day job too.
much later, yeah.
Do you also think that the whole finance topic isn't just about numbers, but it's also very emotional.
It's 1000% emotional. And I think this is, like, for example, on the weekend, we had a webinar. And I realized when you unlock, you give the space to emotions, suddenly it hits way deeper. And it's not only here anymore, but it's here. And I try to unlock this. Like, our events are positive, colorful, empowering. Like, the word empowering falls often. And I always try to unlock this emotional level.
Yes.
It's like what you said yesterday in your speech. I want that the women have the safe space, and they have it. And once they realize this, they feel safe. Hey, there is a sharing. It goes so deep, so vulnerable. Sometimes, and I mean, we're talking here CEO women, business owners, career women, international expert. Like, they have lived.
Yeah, intelligence isn't the issue ever.
Not intelligence, not confidence also in other areas, right? So then they sit there, and sometimes they even, if they not cry, right? But they open up, say, wow, from my mother I learned this, from my dad I learned this.
Yes.
Or from society. Yeah. Don't speak about money. So it's definitely emotional. But the good thing is you can tie it into a positive emotion.
Yes, definitely. So, like, I'm doing something similar with the field of taxes.
Yes.
I think what we share is that what we aim at is this moment where somebody finally says, I don't want to feel stupid about this anymore.
Yeah.
And now I don't feel stupid anymore because I have the confidence now that I can do it and I will do it. It's not only about the yes, we can do it. Blah, blah, blah. So you actually make these women that are in your programs, you actually get them doing it.
Exactly, get them doing it. I mean, look, literally yesterday, right? We had the women's circle, 45 women. There is a chatter, there is a connecting. Like, some even don't know each other, have never seen each other, but they are supportive. Like, it's an amazing vibe. And then there was a client from 2 years now, and she came to me, and she's a very shy person. I have never seen her like that. She's like, hey, Christina, I also wanted to tell you and talk to you and give you feedback. I'm now super, like, invested. Like, we invested all her liquidity. She discusses now finance with her partner. She looked confident the way she spoke.
Yes.
And then she said, and now I'm interesting to follow the news. And I search for funds and for equities. And then I'm discussing this with my partner. Like, so what I usually ask when we do podcasts also, or when I do testimonials, I ask, did it change only the financial part or something else?
And it's always something else.
Like, so many areas of life. Like, really, they say suddenly, because we speak a lot about emotions. Okay, which values do I actually have? What do I actually want from my money? What do I actually want from my life? Yeah. How do I want to spend? Often it's about retirement. How do I want to spend?
That's my goal.
What's my goal? Exactly. And am I spending according to these values? Am I investing according to these values? Right? Because you can invest in different companies. So it opens up so many topics. But what I want to say, actually, the point is, it's not a thing where I can in one evening or in 1 week.
Yeah.
We change your life. It takes time. And the thing is, I feel like the problem is usually women see this urgency when something is happening. Oh, someone died. I inherit. There's a divorce.
Yeah.
And then it's not a good moment to learn and dive deep.
Because there's too much emotion involved anyway.
Exactly. And you're overwhelmed with other stuff, right? So a client of mine, she's 63. She said it perfectly. She said, I wish these women would take action when everything is good in their life. Yeah, they have a flourishing career, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the perfect moment to get started because it will take time. And I always say, I can motivate you, I can guide you, I can, you know, make it easy for you and fun, but I cannot do it for you. Yes, we can do it together. But in the end, even if you outsource, like, I have parts of my wealth is also managed by a wealth manager. I work with buckets in the wealth distribution. But I still need to know what's going on. Why? How many fees?
Yeah, you still need to decide. I want this and this amount of my money to go to this wealth manager.
And why?
And tell him to do it.
And it's or her.
Or her. Of course. Or, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, her. Pardon. Yes. This is very much what I see as well. A lot of married clients. And so many women still outsource the whole tax and finance topic just by default to their partner. And often if there is a divorce, I mean, it's not a secret that there is divorces out there. And then suddenly it's like, I have no idea about my situation. I have never done it before. And the insecurity doubles and triples because you didn't build up any knowledge in the years before. So that's really a shame. I so much encourage, or want to encourage, every woman out there to like own their finances and everything that is tied to it. So it's not only the investments, it's also the pension plan of your employer. Mm-hmm. Whoever looks at that. If I ask people, what kind of plan do you have? Do you contribute a lot or not? Do you have choices in there? They're like, I don't know, how am I supposed to know? And then I'm like, you do receive yearly reports from your pension fund. Do you use that? Does it go to the bin directly or do you actually have a look at it? And no, it's so boring, I'm not going to look at that. So
yeah, I love that you say that, because maybe we can also give some actionable tips, right? Like what you can definitely do is, so you have in the pension system, you have always three pillars. Actually, most of the countries in the world is the same. You have governmental, employer, and private. So ensure that the first two are invested if you have a say, especially the second one.
Yeah, you can't choose in the first one in Switzerland. It is the AHV, and so it is done by the government. You can't change anything about it, and you will not earn, like what you receive doesn't necessarily reflect what you put in. So it's the element of solidarity in the Swiss system. But yes, and from pillar two onwards, there is choice.
Exactly.
Maybe.
And it's choices, and it's also another negotiation point for your employment. Yes. So if you negotiate a new contract or a promotion and they can't give you more salary, ask, hey, can you pay, like opt up the rates that they contribute and you contribute, or ask which provider they have. Like if you're self-employed, right, try to get a provider that's cost efficient and like increase the possibility of the risk strategy. And then do pillar three, like the private pension. If you follow me a bit, like I work with my dad is in my brand, my market specialist. And we have a very strong opinion on bonds, which is no financial advice, but like we're full on equity. So yeah, I always try, if the woman can afford it, right, that we increase a bit the risk strategy.
Yes.
But yeah, what I wanted to say is like use this also, especially pillar two, three, or there is also, I had in my last employment a 1E, I think.
Yes.
Extra benefit. So there are negotiation Spielräume.
Yes. And sometimes, like, I do see a lot of salary certificates, and naturally, because you need it for the tax declaration. And there are companies out there that at first glimpse, they pay a nice salary, but they only insure the minimum in the pension plan. So I've seen this, especially with software companies. Mm-hmm. They will only insure the first, like, 85,000 francs of the salary. Mm-hmm. But if the person earns like a quarter million, 300,000, that leads to several issues. I mean, some people will be like, oh, but that's nice because then more money ends up in my pocket. Mm-hmm. But there's no automatism for old age savings. It also means that your company is saving a lot of money because they don't need to add on their employer part of the contributions. And then also you would be hit quite hard with taxes because, yes, there's more cash in your pocket, but it also means that your taxable salary is higher.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you're going to blame it on me, I'm only the messenger. It can be a strategy to accept such a contract, but only if you are fully aware of the implications and if you have other ideas of how to invest your money to at least make up for the old age savings. For the taxes, it's going to be a difficult thing, but want to raise awareness about this topic because there can be reasons to accept such a contract. It might be good reasons because it's bloody good money, maybe.
And because you may be good with your own portfolio management?
Yes. So, and you might say, okay, I'm living in Zug anyway, so I will accept the taxes, or I'm an American. I don't care about the pension plan because it's not good for me anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's good and bad reasons for a lot of things, but you need to be aware and don't just sign something blindly.
Unfortunately, awareness is inconvenient, right? Because you need to create it.
Yeah.
Talking about emotions, like I can remember, for example, I worked with a client, Nadine, in her 40s now, and she came out of a divorce and she really said this was her own words. She feels shamed and stupid that she trusted the financial advisor of her husband, and they paid 2.5% fees. It's like from Germany. And a subscription fee into the product of 3 to 5%. So imagine you need to make up 7%, right? So we changed her whole setup. And just for the wealth that she took out of the divorce, for the next 25 years, we will save her 230,000 just in fees.
So just in fees.
Just in fees.
Just let that sink in. Just in fees.
And just for that wealth that was there, not the wealth that she's creating continuously, right? So it is painful, I think. And the woman mentioned shame a lot of times.
Yes.
But yeah, there's one point where you have to like step over it and do something.
Yeah, get over it. Say, okay, I didn't look at that for years, but I will now. So you can't change the past, but you can change how you approach it in the future.
Yeah.
So do you have more stories for us? Like stories that really, Nadine's story, there's lots of them, I'm sure. do you have a story, maybe like a lot of my clients are internationally very mobile. So this comes with implications for their tax situation. They receive restricted stock units from a previous employer that is vesting over time. What kind of tax implications do we have here? So that's an international thing. Some have international properties, receive alimony from another country, have to pay something to another country. So there's a lot of international ties. So clients like that, do you have some stories?
Many, many. Because it's also, I think we have exactly the same people that we work with, except I'm not sure, but I think you are focusing on men and women, right?
Yes. Yeah. Taxum has a lot of male clients.
Yeah. So almost all my clients have lived at least in two countries.
Yeah.
The maximum is like 5, 7. They are crazy. Sometimes I cannot even follow where have they lived. So what we do is we try to get all the pensions. Like they often don't know, am I owed a pension? Can I get it into Switzerland? How much pension would it be? Where do I want to retire? Then FX, right? Exchange, foreign currency exchange. I have, like you said, a mortgage in this country and a house in that country and rental income here. Like we have to always look at all the situations, which is fun. Like for me, it's fun.
Yeah.
For them, it's super overwhelming. But I feel like once you see it in black and white and you know, okay, this country, I keep it open. This not. I'm making example from my own example, right? So I had like my broker account in Hong Kong. Then my wealth management in Switzerland, broker account in Switzerland, a broker account in Germany. And they all had reasons. And obviously my pension in Switzerland. They all had reasons. Which currency am I
having
the assets in? Which strategy do I have there? Is it for long term? In my case, for example, all the vessels, all the pockets are for very long term. I only invest what I don't need anymore. So that's why I also go high risk, right? And I have a long time horizon. Then parts I manage myself, parts is managed. So with every vessel or pocket, however you want to call it, with every bank relationship, mortgage, how high the mortgage is, if we should pay it back or not, all of this we look at with each other. And then they always ask the questions ethics. So for example, Meryl, executive, actually in finance even, like it's a friend of mine in the meantime from Hong Kong, now on a 1-year world trip. She has real estate. She's Dutch, has real estate in the Netherlands. She's lived in Spain. She lived in somewhere in North Africa. I can't remember. Anyway, we consolidated the wealth basically between the Netherlands and Hong Kong because the rest was just like cash liquidity. So we started investing. We looked at, she has now a global advisor and a brokerage account in Hong Kong. We invested her pension because she was the one, she was contributing to the pension, but she didn't know if it's invested, how it's invested. So we found out it's the most conservative bracket that you can have, like just money market. So it wasn't generating anything. So now she has several 6-digit portfolio invested. She knows, okay, I have my rental income. How do I do it with the taxes in the Netherlands? I can go on a 1-year world trip, which is fine. I feel like creating consciousness, what you said. I just received another voice note from Federica, who is an Italian living in Switzerland. She also quit her job. She's now somewhere in India doing a yoga retreat for 4 months. Like, she said it gives her so much peace because she knows she can do it.
Yes.
And she's also fully invested. Yeah.
And you see, Christina is not telling everyone to not spend anything any longer. So we all want to have fun and we should have fun. It's just know how expensive your fun can be, keeping your long-term goals in mind.
And I always say, if you can spend, you can also invest.
Yeah,
I'm not the one who, talking about frugal mindset, right? Everyone has their money mindset. For me, it's not at all, like you have the bandwidth of very frugal people to high spenders.
Yeah.
So the high spenders, they are saying, okay, yes, I need to like,
if I if tune it down a bit.
Exactly, yeah. Tune it down a bit. If I spend 400, I invest 400. But you also have the other extreme. I cannot enjoy my money.
Yeah.
I have to keep and safeguard my money. So for example, Gemma, she was my first flatmate when I moved to Hong Kong, which was very funny. Bit younger than me, in an heritage, but from UK. Super frugal. We through talking, right, because she was my flatmate, we found out that her mom lost money in the stock market.
Okay.
And then raised her with the super frugal mindset. Don't invest. Don't risk your money.
Keep cash under your mattress.
Or invest in real estate.
Okay.
People always think real estate is safe, but that's a whole different topic. But of course, she is now not so frugal anymore. And she said this actually changed her life. She will be able to retire 47 years old. Cool, no?
Once you say you have a good plan, it lets you sleep better. There is peace of mind. And this, the peace of mind that a calm financial situation in terms of investments, in terms of pension, in terms of taxes as well. If you are sure I've got it and it's being taken care of or I am taking care of it, the relief that you will feel is enormous and people underestimate that.
Yeah.
So we can both highly advise. You don't think
I don't
so?
Think that they underestimate it, but the pain of something that didn't happen or could happen is not often high enough to get started with it.
Yeah, that's possible as well. Yeah.
I wonder how we can get there and motivate and activate.
I mean, you are now doing a podcast. It's called Bold.
Yeah.
I'm sure it comes from because of your love of bold colors. So what is it that you discuss in your podcast and how does that match with your Her Financial Freedom program?
In the end, I think we didn't want to be super excluding, like only focusing on women. We also have male guests, and I wanted to highlight bold lives, people that make bold decisions and live bold lives. And it's so cool because it opens up to entrepreneurs. So for example, I was now 3 months in Bali and I was living this co-living. Oh my god, it was the nicest villa ever. Like, I want to go back. But I'm flying to Cape Town tomorrow, so it's all good.
So we're all hating Christina right now.
And then there was this young guy. I actually recorded a session with him, 29. He sits like in the podcast, you know, like this with a white t-shirt, like super relaxed, multimillionaire, self-made. And I just want to interview. He said he has no liquid investments. He said he just doesn't know how. And he invested into crypto, lost a lot of money. So he's like, hands off, I'm running my business, there I'm good at, but not with the wealth management. So I want to highlight stories of people who are living these, I don't want to say extraordinary, but maybe different lives, made bold decisions.
So, yeah, it's a recommendation. You can listen to Bold after you listen to Tax in the City. And we'll definitely link that in the show notes so that people can find your podcast. Is there one thing you want our listeners to leave when they switch off this podcast? One takeaway or two, if you can't limit it to one.
It's super simple. Get involved. Or you can also call it start. And I feel like if you are now here, like let's say zero or you do a few percent, because there are actually a lot of women, they have some kind of investments or they have taken care of some pension investments, but there's not really an overall strategy. They don't know how much they pay, how is it actually invested, or someone handles it for me, but they don't know the details. So you are somewhere here, and then there's like 100, I have a full strategy, full overview, blah, blah. It's a long stretch, right? So I'm like, how can I open the topic? Just a few percent. Get involved this way. Okay. Listen to podcasts. Read cool books about it. follow Instagram accounts, finfluencers, right? Like me, who give bite-sized information. Join a finance event. Ask at the next coffee you have with your colleague, with your mom, with your girlfriend, hey, how are you actually investing? Are you investing? What was the last investment you did? Where are you putting your pension? What was an investment mistake you made? How much percent are you investing? Like, you don't have to talk numbers, right? Because this is the embarrassing part often. So get involved. And we try to reduce the hurdle of getting involved as much as possible. How? Yeah. Running webinars online for free. We have recommendations lists for these named podcasts and books and Instagram accounts. Like, just involve yourself in this world. We have a finance tracker that is not only a boring, you know, budgeting tool. You can actually put emotions with that finance tracker in your finances, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's also in pink and purple. And you can manage and track also your assets. So I try to infuse my learning from the ultra high net world into this finance tracker.
Yeah.
So we try to give a lot of free tools. For example, many women ask me, what do I do with my cash? Okay, so we write a guide on high yield savings account, right? What can you do with your cash? We get asked a lot, how can I find the right broker? We have a guide. So just involve yourself in this whole discussion. It doesn't need to be this big, big topic from one day to the other. That's very unrealistic. But you can take these small steps. Follow an Instagram account. It's not a big step, you know?
No.
But over the time, like yesterday we had the event, no? I had women coming up. They joined my event since 2 years. And it's not even about finance. But obviously, I always give a nudge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my networking event, actually. They said, oh my God, Christina, I'm doing this and this and this and this now. And I talk to my girlfriends and I talk to my mom, or I'm listening for my kid now. Like, amazing. So cool.
I don't know if you say that in English as well, but in German, you say, how do you eat an elephant? And you eat it bite by bite by bite. And you can do the exact same thing with an overwhelming topic like your finances. Yeah. And you should. Don't swallow the whole elephant at one time. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
I think it's really funny how the things we avoid the longest are often the ones that give us the most peace of mind once they are properly handled. So, Christina, thank you for reminding us that financial freedom isn't about perfection. It's about starting, and starting sooner than someday or later.
Can I give you one number?
Of course.
If you wait to invest $500 per month, for Switzerland, doable, right? $500 per month. If you just wait for 24 months, so 2 years, it will cost you over the next 20 years.
Yes.
50K almost.
Okay. So I think today is a good day to start.
Yeah,
definitely. To everyone listening, you don't have to navigate this alone. You don't have to. Whether it's investing guidance, cross-border tax clarity, here at Paxum and with people like Christina, there are smarter and calmer ways forward than just sit there by yourself asking ChatGPT what to do. As always, all relevant links, resources, contact will be in the show notes, waiting there for you. And just like that, you've been listening to Tax in the City. Thanks, Christina.
Love your outro. Thank you so much.